Hello and welcome to a special episode of Weekend Early with Terence Mentor. It's Father's Day today, and to celebrate, I sat down with five dads who are at quite different points in their fatherhood journey. Dylan was a laid-back friend of mine at varsity who is now expecting his first child. Basil was the high-energy and kind of crazy schoolmate who has just witnessed the birth of his first son. Coquetto is the colleague who takes the role of being a dad to his young girls as seriously as he does his role as a talk show host. Doug is the Christian father who loves watching his sons become amazing young men. And Denzel is the grandfather who is enjoying the fruits of being a dedicated father, the empty nest, and a full heart. But first, I started by talking to Dylan Valley, who recently found out he was going to be a dad.
Firstly, congratulations. You've just found out that you're going to be a dad.
Yes, thank you so much. Thanks so much, Dennis. Well, actually, I found it a while ago, like a few months ago, but you just found out I'm
Yes,
going to
I just found out that you're a dad. So
dad.
I'm still feeling the excitement levels that so this is like one of the first points of fatherhood that people would experience, right? It's that moment of discovering that you're going to be a father. It's for a lot of people that happened a long time ago. So just kind of remind us about the emotions that you went through on that day. Like, what were you feeling when you discovered that this is actually going to happen?
Well, it was actually, it happened kind of in a series of days. So I think we kind of had an inkling it was going to happen. And then, Abinad kept telling me, I'm still late and I'm not sure what's happening. And so we kind of had a feeling it was happening. So it was different, I think, than how some people experienced it, which is like it was a gradual feeling. And then when the day happened, the doctor called us. We were just in shock. We were like in complete shock, to be honest. We weren't at the time. We weren't, as people say, trying to have a baby. But we were. We had been talking about it, and we both knew we were ready. But we'd been together for about 11 years now. At that point, when we found out, so it was like. It was like, how did this happen all so suddenly? It was like we just discussed it one day, like, oh yeah, we're kind of ready, and then it just happened. So I think it's one thing knowing, preparing for an idea, and then when it actually happens, you experience all these emotions at once, like excitement and being afraid and scared and nervous. And so yeah, it was definitely, I think the best way I could describe it was a big shock the first time, like getting the confirmation.
I think if I ever write a book about parenting and fatherhood, I think that's going to be the title, The Big Shock. So, I'm going to steal it from you. Just
big shock
yeah.
of your life.
Yeah. So it's been a couple of months since then. Has things settled down, or do you still have that kind of tumultuous emotions?
I think it's settled down now. It's pretty much, I think all the other emotions have receded, and now it's more just excitement and anticipation and like just can't wait to see what the baby is like, and it's a new person in the world that you're gonna meet. And for 9 months, you're like hearing about this person, and then you kind of, so it's anticipation, right? Because you're thinking about this person so much and what they're going to be like. So yeah, now it's just excitement looking forward.
And is there anything specifically that you're like really looking forward to when the Baba eventually arrives? Like, what is something that you're like, oh, that is a moment I cannot wait for?
I think the moment I can't wait for is like when the baby smiles at me for the first time, and when I'm able to like go to a park and run. I don't know why I just have this. I don't know if it's because of movies or whatever. I have this image of me running in a park and picking up the child, and like that kind of
The
hallmark moment.
twirling in the air.
Yeah, I can't wait for that moment actually. But yeah, really, it's also just hard to know what to expect, because the only Because I think also when you're a young dad, like the only reference you have is movies and stuff. When not a lot of your friends have had babies yet, and you haven't spent a lot of time with newborns, so you're not exactly sure what to expect. So it's a lot of unknown as well.
And does that
So you kind
unknown
of go
bring?
back to those movie moments, like I want that movie moment.
Does that unknown bring a certain level of anxiety as well?
Yeah, it does. It does, especially for someone like me who is very afraid of the unknown. I always get like, if I ever have to go on a trip, like even if I'm just going to Durban for the weekend, I always get like anxiety just before, like, oh, I wonder what it's going to be like. Oh, will I get too hungry on the plane? Will I remember to draw money? So it's like, I think that add a lot to it, like the anxiety and stuff. And also, for like on a dad's note, it's also different, I think, for dads because women are used to being vulnerable with each other, and it's more acceptable to say like, oh, I'm really scared actually, and then your friend, like telling your friend, oh, I need some, you have some advice, or I'm just feeling kind of worried today. Whereas for women, that's not really a problem. Like they can, they support each other, but we often don't support each other always. I think we do, but like we're scared to seem vulnerable. I think that's the problem.
Yeah, we kind of have to behave like we've got this. I'm the man and I've got this. Whereas
Yeah, exactly.
inside,
Everything's cool. Like,
inside we're that 13-year-old boy crying in the shower in reality. Well,
Yeah,
Dylan,
exactly.
thank you so much for being willing to chat to me and good luck with this awesome journey. I think you're going to be fine. Honestly, that's kind of the message I always tell new dads. You're going to be fine. You're
Thanks.
right. You're right to be scared, but you're going to get through it. And I'm just super excited for you. Congratulations.
Thanks, man, and thanks for doing this show and for doing your Afro Daddy stuff. It really makes a big difference because, like I said, we don't often talk about this stuff, so as men. So it's great to have somebody like you out there actually doing that. So please keep doing it.
Okay, so dad number two for the show is a even older friend of mine. In fact, I think this guy and I go way back to junior school. Even though I'm not sure if he even remembers that we were at the same school together. But Basil Skordelis has become a father, and very recently, in fact, 4 days ago was when he met his son, also called Basil. Okay, I have to ask you. How's it been going for the first 4 days?
Surprisingly, it's actually been going really well. So we did things a little bit differently, by I guess mainstream thought, in that we had a home birth. I feel like a lot of people I know are kind of waking up to this. But we didn't do water, and it just everything happened on the bed. It's incredibly messy. But what's really helped over the past 4 days was actually having a midwife, a doula, and then the grannies and grandpas being here. So like all these questions and all these things about like, his skin is starting to peel, his one fingernail cut him and he's got a little scab now. Like, what do we do about this sort of thing? Like, we literally just WhatsApp in either the midwife or the doula, and they just get back to us and say it's totally fine, it's totally normal, and we breathe easier.
So you've built this community around yourself of supportive people.
And it's just been the biggest help in that, we're not stressed when baby does something that we don't know what the hell
Like, what is coming out of it?
it is. Because then we know that they have the answers, and they more importantly, over the last like 3 months, we've been able to connect with them and share our lives previously and present. And in that way we're just more comfortable in speaking about whatever it is, and they're also very comfortable in just telling us what it is, and then it's fine, and either go back to sleep or go back to breastfeeding.
Okay, so I think a lot of people are going to hear the words home birth and go, what? what? because it's not a normal, well, it's maybe, it's not a traditional thing that we see a lot of necessarily in Cape Town, especially in a middle class sort of lifestyle. What made you decide to go home birth route as opposed to what a lot of people might perceive as the safer hospital route?
It was definitely my wife Sandy's decision from the get-go. She just wanted a natural birth. And the more we started looking into it, the more we realized, and by looking into it, we did take sort of both sides. So she went to, I think, two different hospitals. We went to a sort of clinical or classic gynecologist as well. And then we went to midwives and we went to doulas. And the whole idea of giving birth in a hospital where it's very sterile, there's very little of everything that's yours there. So you have to bring so much there on an emotional basis to support your wife during the however long labor process might be. And we just kind of decided, you know, the best way for us to support each other is where we usually support each other, which is at home.
That seems to make a lot of sense. But when it was actually happening, was there fear, anxiety? Were you thinking, was this the right decision when the labor was going?
Oh man, I just had to put faith in Sandy's body. That's all it came down to. There were tears, eh? There were serious tears when I think we were probably about in like the 12th or 13th hour of labor. And all I could do was hold her hand as the contractions get more and more intense. And yeah, I just put my head in my arms and just cried for a little bit because there is nothing I could do.
Yeah. You're very much on the back foot as a dad in that space. It's kind of like, completely. Well, I can be, like you say, hold your hand. What else?
Yeah, so nothing prepares you for this, you know. As many talks as you'll go to and as many like other dads you'll speak to, nothing prepares you for it. And the best you can do is literally just be by her side. Mm. And that is literally enough for them.
So the last 4 days, it's obviously a big learning curve. You like you say, you've been lucky to have some really wise older people around you that's been encouraging you and helping you out. Tell us about little Basil. How has his experience of the world outside the womb been like? Has he adapted? Has he coped?
He's such a model.
Just like his dad.
Oh man, I can't remember what you know those classic baby pics where they're all like swaddled up in a teacup or you know lying on in a sunflower or whatever.
Yes,
it is.
Yes,
like those, I think it's Ann Getty or something like
that. Yeah, that's the one.
But he's kind of making those sorts of poses when he sleeps. And it's just like, I'm going to start contacting these agencies now.
Yeah, start getting those, high school and varsity fees covered from
exactly,
the very beginning.
Exactly, yeah.
And what are you really excited about at the moment? Like, what is getting you, what keeps you going? Like, what are you looking forward to for your child?
Well, the amazing thing, I think the most amazing thing is just how quickly he's changing already. So from the moment he came out, he was kind of chubby, right? And he had all these folds everywhere and kind of wrinkly too. And even 4 days later, he's dropped off a lot of weight. And it's a completely natural thing. They pick it up again. But he's dropped off all this weight. And so the biggest thing I'm looking forward to, at least in the next few months, is just watching these changes as, you know, day by day and noticing just how quickly and how fleeting these moments with a little non-speaking baby.
Well, you know, this is your first proper Father's Day, so I have to say congratulations and happy Father's Day, and I hope it's a day of a lot of joy. I hope you get a lot of cuddles and I mean, not you won't get real smiles. You might get like the gas smiles, but take it as real smiles.
Yeah. Yeah, and happy Father's Day to you too, man.
Thank you so much. Coquetso, hello. Good morning.
How are you doing? Good morning, man.
So we're talking about dads and about the specific time of fatherhood that you're having right now.
Mm.
I know you're very secretive about your family, but can you tell me a little bit about your kids?
Not secretive, protective.
Ah, okay.
Difference.
Okay, yes.
Protective.
Yes. So you let people know they exist, but you make sure that they are safe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, yeah, I got two daughters, 16 and 10.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, they're very similar but different at the same time. They're both very calm people. The older one is surprisingly, and I suppose it shouldn't, but it surprised me that she is political. In her mindset.
What? One of your
I know, right? I was like, what? Wait, hold on.
Where did that come from?
And then I had to think back, like, wait, hold on. Oh, okay.
There were those
conversations and those books that you read for her and you got her to read and you bought for her. So, surprise. Yeah, that's that. And the little one is extremely spiritual. She has this very interesting relationship with God, where she doesn't. The older sister goes to church, and the little one's like, "No, I don't need to. You know, I've got my connection with God. I'm good." So they're both very different, but extremely opinionated, and I think a lot of it has got to do with me encouraging dialogue. You know, that's the one thing that I hold very dear, the need to talk. Like, feel free to come to me with anything, and feel free to ask questions, and feel free to debate, and feel free to disagree with whatever it is that I'm saying. You know, so I have worked really hard at making sure that they are conscious and they understand what is happening. I mean, an example with the older one, when she was much younger, I remember one day we were driving and there was I think it was a Nicki Minaj song playing on the radio. And then I switched it off and I said, okay, listen, we're going to listen to what she says. Right. And then I put it back on. Yeah, exactly. I put it back on. And then we're listening. I can't even remember the song. And then it finished and I switched it off. I said, okay, what did she say? And what did we learn from what she said?
Mm.
And the message there was, I'm not saying you shouldn't listen, but know and understand what you're hearing and be able to decipher whether it applies to you or not and how you feel about it. Mm. A beat is a beat, but lyrics that you sing along to have got a certain consequence.
Sure, there's a power. There's power in this.
Yeah, you know, and I do that a lot with I've got nieces as well, and they would all be in the car and there'll be a song and they'll sing along. And I said, but wait, hold on, you know, listen to what he said. Do not get to a point where you find that word to be okay, because one day when you grow up, there's somebody who's going to refer to you as such.
And you have to be...
And you need to understand, because the song that you're listening to right now, that says that, and you listening to it, you singing along, you not registering, another person your age, a boy out there singing along, they grow up associating that word as a reference to a female. Mm-hmm. And then one day when you're much older, they refer to you as such because they've been socialized to find it okay. Be aware of what that word actually means.
I have two boys, and I've always thought that I was quite lucky that I have boys and not girls, because this world doesn't really like girls and women that much.
Yeah.
You have two girls. How do you raise them in South Africa and in this kind of context?
Well, I mean, firstly, to be honest, we are living in an environment where the girl child and women in particular are under threat. And it is important that I provide my daughters with the skill to navigate, you know. And it's tough. It's tough having to have certain conversations with your daughters about the dangers that are out there. But I think while raising daughters in that climate is more difficult. I think there's also the difficulty of raising boys, where as a father to boys, you have that responsibility to ensure that they do not grow up to be perpetrators.
Hmm.
So for as long as we are not seeing more boys being raised not to be perpetrators and even be protectors of young girls or treat them equally, for as long as that doesn't happen, we're going to see more and more young boys grow up to be perpetrators, which means then those of us who are fathers to girls will have to teach them to be aware of such behavior from boys who are not raised accordingly.
Yeah, the onus should really be on the parents of boys to take on the change that needs to happen. But so look, it is Father's Day, so let's move away from the difficulties. What do you really enjoy about being a father to your two girls?
I think I enjoy getting to see these individuals grow. It's most fascinating, because while they grow, you grow as well, because you learn a lot about yourself from just watching them grow and some of the things that they throw at you. Like, wait, hold on, what? Did you just ask me that? What do you mean?
Where did you
even learn that? I had to figure it out, you know, like, okay. I spend a lot of time with my little one in the car, you know, because I take her to school and whatnot. And she can come with some most fascinating questions.
How old is she?
She's 10, you know, so she'll ask certain questions. And then you would have to really think about, how am I going to answer this honestly, but also in a way that is relevant for her age, you know. And the same with the eldest one. I get to see how she's growing into this young woman, where she's extremely observant. Things that I didn't think that she would have a view on. People around us, you know, she would have a view on them and it would be very on point. So she's a very good judge of character and extremely sensitive to certain behaviors.
Mm.
So I think all in all, I'm happy with the young women that they are. But also, I don't do it alone, you know. I do this together with their mom, and they are grandparents on their mom's side, grandparents on my side, and also with my wife, you know. So it's a combination of a whole community of people who are part and parcel of raising these young women.
And I mean, we spoke to a new dad, someone who became a dad literally 4 days ago, and he was saying exactly that. The reason why he was able to be calm in this period of massive transition is because he had a doula, and he has a midwife to call, and he has four grandparents, and he has aunts and uncles, and all these people that are willing to support him, and that's been really important to him. And for what you're saying, it's been quite critical to you as well to have that kind of community around you to help raise these individuals.
No, exactly, and also realizing that you know, one is very fortunate to have that, because you can't take that for granted. There are a lot of people who don't. I mean, firstly, one needs to acknowledge that mothers are the most amazing people, like on another level.
It's like, let's day, just but we can't lie
let
like
us
that.
Just be very clear there, gentlemen. Because also you have in many cases where mothers are raising their children alone.
Mm.
And yes, there might be, in some cases, additional family members that assist. But there are many women, many mothers out there who it's just them and the kids, man, you know, and they make it work. They make it happen. Yeah. And historically in our country as well, to just get a little bit more serious, if you look at what has happened in our country, where because of the migrant labor system and many other different things that have happened in the country, by and large, women, mothers, have had to handle business on their own, you know. So as men, as fathers, we also need to just take a moment and make that acknowledgement. Like, hey, listen, thank you, you know, thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's very, very important. But at the same time, we need to, I hate the whole play our part, because we need to do what is expected of us and what we should expect of ourselves. You know, because sometimes you get people who feel that they need to get kudos for being dads. It's like, nah.
No, you do what you're supposed to do in the first place.
Yeah, I remember the Chris Rock skit where he's talking about, you know, some really ridiculous views that some guys have, you know, a guy bragging like, yeah, I take care of my kids. It's like, yeah, you're supposed to. What do you want, a cookie? Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's what you're supposed to do.
We're not raising the bar of fathered. We're getting ourselves to the bar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And guys, can we please stop saying that we're babysitting our kids? Like, no, no, dog, you're not babysitting your child. You're being a father. You're being a parent. Stop it. Yeah, no, I got to stay home. You know, got to babysit the kids. No, you got to be home and take care of your own.
This is the problem about having a talk show host in on your show, is that he'll always find a soapbox somewhere.
I'm just saying, you are, dog. What do you mean?
So, look, there's a whole future ahead for you and your family. What are you looking forward to? What are you hopeful for your kids for the future?
I want them to do whatever it is that moves their spirit, and I want to be able to provide whatever resources, platforms, space for them to do so. You know, so I'm always on the lookout for what they seem to be into right now, and do what I can. I
mean, fidget spinners is kind of fun.
Nah. I mean, the older sister, when she was, I don't know, four, whatever age it was, she wanted to drum, and I was like, okay, get into drumming lessons and buy a drum kit type of thing. And you know, she got out of it. The drum kit is somewhere, but it's fine, right? The little one now is starting to design clothes, and I'm like, okay, I need to get you a sketch pad, and let's see what happens. But whatever it is that they want to do, man, I just want to be able to provide the space and the resources for them to do so. And I'm fortunate in that those who are parenting figures in their lives, you know, we share the same sentiment. Nobody is imposing anything on them. People actually, in their own ways, everybody is doing what they can to make sure that these little girls get to do what they want to do, which is amazing. And I must acknowledge that I'm very fortunate.
Well, I'm very fortunate to know you and know you as the dad that you are. Happy Father's Day.
Same to you, bro.
I guess it's the way we should go. I hope it's a good one. Are you going to be chilling today? What's the Father's Day plan?
Just be. Weekends are for sleeping.
Thanks so much, Kuketsa.
Much love.
Right, so the next dad that I'm talking to is Doug Faulkner. He's I think he potentially has the deepest voice in the Western Cape. But it's cool because this is a man who's been a parent for 15 years, if I'm correct, Doug?
17, actually.
17. You've been a dad 17 years. Tell us a bit about your family. Tell us a bit about your kids.
Okay, so I'm married to Karen. We've been married 5 years longer than the kids, so 22 years. And I've got four boys. James is 17, Tom is 15, Sam is 13, and Jethro is 11.
Okay, so not just a dad for a while, but a dad to boys. Is that? Yeah. Do you feel like that there is a difference to parenting boys than there is to potentially parenting a mix or girls?
Well, seeing as I've only ever parented boys, that's tricky to say. But from what I see from my friends, I think there are big differences, yeah.
So like what? What, like energy levels or craziness or smell?
Well, I mean, geez, I mean, these are stereotypes, and obviously boys and girls can often, you know, be each other, you know? But I think in general, boys are more sort of to themselves. It's more difficult to get out of your boys what's going on than it is out of girls, I think. On the plus side, it seems that boys, I think their relationships are sometimes easier because I think they have sort of simpler solutions, like they'll have a physical fight to sort something out and then they're buddies again. Whereas it seems that, I don't know, the impression I get is that sometimes girls and emotional, you know, what do you call it, relationship struggles can carry on for ages and getting other girls involved and blah, 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 blah.
So I mean, like you're saying, that's kind of the traditional cultural roles that girls and boys sometimes adopt. But just for your current point of being a father, what is particularly exciting about this time of fatherhood for you, of looking after teenagers or caring for teenagers as they're going into adulthood?
Yeah, it's like it almost feels like I've got sort of, you know, probably three stages. I mean, James is now, next year is matric and then varsity, so that's exciting. Mm. I mean, I took him to a UCT Open Day a couple of weeks ago, and I was thinking, gee, it must be fun to be like just about to go to varsity. Of course, him being 17, he's not as excited about it as I am looking back at 17. But that's fun, and James is a lovely boy. He's going to do really well. Then Thomas is 2 years behind him. Thomas is a big sport nut. He's a football encyclopedia. And so he's sort of mid high school, also a great kid. And then Sam is going to high school next year, which is amazing. It's like we've got two sort of groups. I don't know, somehow James and Tom are the sort of the older boys, and Tom and Sam and Jet are the younger boys. That seems to be how it works. But now Sam is going to high school, so that's, you know. And Jethro is, so he's still a little boy, I think, you know, 11. And also a great kid. They're all very sweet boys. Jethro is being homeschooled this year. And so that's been an exciting thing, actually, because he'd really come out of his shell. We knew that he didn't really like school, and he knew he didn't really like school. I mean, who does? But he really didn't like it. But now that he's out, it's astonishing how much he didn't like it. He didn't even realize. I mean, I said to him the other day, sorry for putting your foot through that. And he said, that's fine, Dad. You didn't know. I didn't know. How are you supposed to know?
So it sounds like you're quite like excited about all the different potentials that your children have, but let's talk about the big kid, the adult, yeah, now, the almost adult, yeah. James, what are you looking forward to for his future? What are you hoping to see happen for him and to him and by him, I suppose?
Well, James is, you know, I'm really proud of James. I mean, he's such a nice boy, you know. I mean, as you say, he's a man. He's grown up so well, you know. He's very responsible, but he's also a lot of fun. He's a very good friend, and he's very strong. James is a Christian and has been since he was very young. And as such, he doesn't want to drink. I mean, I drink, and I'm a Christian. I don't think Christians don't have to, but he's decided he doesn't want to. And that means he goes to parties where he is the only one at the party who's not drinking. Mm. So he's a very strong boy. He's not easily swayed, and yet he manages not to be sort of holier than thou. You know? And he's very bright, so he does very well at maths. And actually, he just got 97% for physics. So he's going to study something like that, math or physics, I think. And it's just going to be exciting to see how he does. I mean, James really could really have a very, I'm sure he'll have a great future, you know?
Wow, that's, I can hear the pride that you have for your boys just, just in the way you talk about them. And that's very exciting to hear. You know, 17 years is a long time to do anything, any one thing. And I'm certain that you've seen a change in the way fathers are viewed culturally, and maybe you've learned a lot yourself. How has things changed in the 17 years that you've been a dad? Is there a difference between maybe how you parent now, how you father now, versus how you started off being a parent?
That's an interesting question. I've never really thought of that. I think I'm a different father to my father's generation. So my father's generation was very, I don't know, a bit absent. And my father was, and I know a lot of fathers were. And, you know, I mean, he wasn't absent as in he wasn't there, but he wasn't involved with us like we are with them. And also, I think children then sort of fitted in, whereas these days I think it can be the other way around, where we actually fit in with the kids, you know? Mm. So I very much felt that I should do the things that my dad wanted me to do, whereas I really don't think my kids feel like that, because they aren't really things that I want them to do. I mean, they're free to do, to study whatever they want, to play whatever sport they want to. I don't really, you know. Mm. I mean, I'll give you an example. Thomas, being a keen football sporting, and he was young when he first started being interested in football, very young, he got some football cards, and for some reason, he really liked Liverpool. Now, I'm a Manchester United supporter from when I was little. My dad was actually born in Manchester.
Oh, okay, so wait. We're going to end. Wait. We're going to end the interview right now.
Are you a Liverpool fan?
Yes.
Oh, no. You see, Liverpool. Look, I'm not a fanatic, but there's only one side I really don't like. That's Liverpool. But that's just because they were so good in the 80s. And I was a big fan, you know, Kenny Dalglish and that whole crowd. They were just, they were what United was 10 years ago. You
exactly.
Know? You know the way everyone hates Manchester United because they were so good? Well, everyone, I hate Liverpool because they were so good. But anyway, Thomas decided he's supporting Liverpool. Now, you know, that's a big ask. Yeah? I mean, he's a very little boy. I can easily, very easily, just put a couple of words in his ear and turn him away. But I didn't. Fortunately, I don't actually know how it happened, but he now does support United, and it had nothing to do with me.
That must have taken a lot of willpower for you just to hold
back.
No,
that was painful. You know, that's painful, you know.
Well, Doug, thank you so much for chatting to us and being so encouraging. It's as a young father myself, I really look forward to be able to like speak so lovingly and proudly about my boys.
I'm sure you will. I'll see you with your kids. I'm sure you will.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how we get there. But again, happy Father's Day to you, because this is playing out obviously on Sunday. Happy Father's Day, and I hope you have a great Sunday.
Yeah, same to you.
So our final dad for today is a man who has almost experienced pretty much everything fathering has to offer. His name is Denzel Washington. No, I'm kidding. Not Denzel Washington. Denzel Abrams. Denzel, you've had a lot of fathering stuff happen to you over the last last few years. Let's see, graduations, marriages, first grandchildren, kids moving out. What kind of emotions have you been experiencing over the last few years?
Well, Terence, thank you for the opportunity. It's been quite hectic this last couple of years, but can I just say to start off with that I'm speaking as a Christian parent.
Sure.
Who believes in the God of the Bible and His Son, Jesus Christ. I think it's necessary to put it out there so that listeners in our politically correct context can try and understand my views. So as I said, the emotions this last couple of years were quite hectic. Let me start with the first one, with the graduation.
Hmm.
Our son, our firstborn, Clint, he didn't graduate because of decisions that he had made during his academic years. You know, when kids go through that time of their lives, they the kind of thing that they know everything, and sometimes they do. And as a father, especially, I was very disappointed at the time, but also very quickly realized that our kids must and will make decisions that we don't necessarily agree with. Plus, those decisions I've learned over the years are their decisions, not mine. I know, in particular, a young man who, after graduating, said to me, "Do you know, I only did this degree because my father wanted me to do it. If I had my way, I would have done something that I really love." So he did it with much regret, but he wanted to please his father. So with Clint, one of the things I learned is that I couldn't do that with him. We gave him the assurance that we will, of course, support him and pay for his first choice of study if he drops out. We said to him that will be his baby. Well, he did drop out. And he faced the consequences, dare I say, like a man, like a big man.
Mm-hmm.
Today, 10 years later, he has a good job. He's happy doing what he does. And I reckon, Terence, if we had forced him to do what we thought was best at the time, I reckon it would have crushed him and things may have just turned out so much worse. With Lindsay, on the other hand, she's a few years younger than Clint. When she graduated after 4 years training to become a school teacher, I must say that it was a very, very proud moment for my wife and I. Here was our little girl becoming qualified as a school teacher. Again, we were very thankful that we had the resources to do it. And you know, the thing that struck me as I was sitting there at in the graduation ceremony is that our kids sometimes, they do surprise us. Because we only go on what we see.
So what I've seen during the time when Lindsay was supposed to have been studying was she wasn't doing any work. It was leaving it all to the last. But, you know, as I said, they do surprise us sometimes. And it was a really wonderful moment for my wife and I to see her graduate. So they are both married right now. Clint is married almost 2 years, and Lindsay was married in July last year. Now, when I was very new to Christian things, it's way over 20 years now, the man who mentored me, him and I, we met once a week to talk about fatherhood, and in fact to pray about our children and to pray that they will marry someone with the same Christian worldview as they had. And that is exactly what happened, and we're very thankful for that indeed. So when Clint and Portia married, it was very easy for me as a father to let go, because I've seen him growing up, becoming a very responsible young man. And it was with great excitement to witness him and his beloved Portia make those promises to one another, as I said, almost 2 years ago now. How I was a father to him over the years, hopefully, will bear much fruit as he's a husband to his wife. So that was a very special moment. I remember the two of us going out for a drink. Could have been 2 weeks before he was married. We went down to the beer house, and we chatted about these things. And just in that conversation, I was so encouraged that through no fault of my own, this lighty, he has grown up to become a young man with his head screwed on very well, and I was very grateful for that. Okay, so that was easy when my son got married, but you know, daddy-daughter relationships are very different to dad-son relationships. So when she got married July last year, I think to summarize it, Terence, my wet eyes on a Saturday afternoon is just a summary of my emotions. For her, it was the beginning of a new chapter in her life. And for me and her, it was the end of a relationship on that particular level. Now I mention that because even though I will always be her father and she will always be my daughter, the dynamic changes dramatically. And I think to explain that is just maybe one of the things that she said in her speech at a wedding day. She's actually asked me whether I would mind moving to number two, humanly speaking, in her life, and let Lee, her husband, be the number one in her life. And even though it was hard, because you know that relationship that you have with your daughter is a very, very special one. I kind of accepted it because Lee is evidently a man that will look after my daughter, and he will love her and cherish her and take care of her. So I let go. As I said, it wasn't easy, but it was good. Can I just add in here that after both weddings, for my wife and I, there was this overwhelming sense of freedom because you know, we've always talked about the emptiness syndrome.
Mm.
And some moments when we talked about it was a fearful prospect, but really it's actually a wonderful thing. And can I just say that it's nice to be in the emptiness because of this one thing. Parenting didn't come before our marriage, so my wife and I we spent a lot of time investing in each other before investing in our children, because I reckon that relationship is so important to be a good father or a good mother to our kids.
Wow, you see, that's immediately you're starting with some great advice for young fathers like myself and the other guys I've spoken to so far. What I wanted to know, because you've now kind of moved on from just being Daddy Denzel to Granddaddy Denzel. And what is that moment like when you realize you're now a grandfather?
Listen, that is another thing that, a few minutes in the interview cannot really express my emotions with it. I immediately started the hashtag on Twitter, hashtag pause boy, because this boy has really become the be all and end all of a part of my life. But I'm saying that very carefully, Terence, because obviously don't want him to become one of my idols. You know, we all have idols. Sometimes our kids are idols. Sometimes our marriages are idols, and sometimes grandchildren. And I see it. It can become an idol. So I'm very careful to not let that happen. A mate of mine who became a grandfather long before I did, he was often talking about his grandchildren, all girls, and he was telling me all kinds of stuff, and I could not understand what he was trying to articulate to me until the day that Ross Alexander and Abrams was born. It really is another level of parenting, Terence. You know, and it reminded me that parenting actually doesn't stop. I suppose it only stops the day that you die. Because here, as a grandfather, it is another form of parenting. It's the same in many respects, like the love that you have for your children, the protection that you feel you must provide for them, and of course the authority that you are as a father and a grandfather. That's the same parenting, but it's also different. It's different in the sense that the responsibility of love and protection and all that kind of stuff is not mine anymore. Mm. It's not the grandfather's anymore. It is now Ross's parents' responsibility. So what I've learned, despite the emotions of being a granddad, that I need to keep myself from meddling in his parents' role. Mm. It's so easy, isn't it, to just want to parent our grandkids the way that we think it's right, but actually I had to step away. I had to step away from it. So, of course, the other thing is with being a grandfather or grandparents, that you can enjoy your grandkids. And when you get full of them, you can just say, okay, you can go now.
when the tired tantrums come in, you can...
Yes, that's right, yes. Home time. That is a great thing. It really is a great thing.
Well, I wanted to find out, because, I mean, you mentioned when you were talking about the wedding days and becoming a grandfather, there's definitely a role change. And what I wanted to know from you is, do you enjoy this new kind of role that you play in your children's lives? I mean, you're always going to be the dad, you're always going to be their father, but the relationship has changed a bit. Is this more exciting? Is it happier? Do you enjoy it more?
Yes. Well, I have to say that the thing that excites me most is watching our children actually growing up, them maturing, seeing them make the mistakes that we all made, and actually working it out together with their spouses. That to me is very, very exciting. Watching them work together in their own mission as a married couple, and Clint and Portia especially as parents. Just looking at them, it really excites me. Seeing how Clint leads his wife, seeing how he loves her, and not just with words, in action. You know, we've always articulated to our parents that their children, their kids are most happy and loved when they see mommy and daddy show and express genuine love to one another. So seeing them do that is really exciting for me. Watching Lindsay respect her husband's leadership and authority. And I know it's kind of politically incorrect for the wife to submit to her husband, but just seeing her working very hard at respecting her husband's leadership, it's really making me, it really excites me. Mm. I also get excited when I see our children, you know, striving after perfection, pursuing perfection, but failing at it all the time. Yet, They don't give up. They always get up and they keep on keeping on, just trying to make the best that life and the world throws at them. That really excites me.
You know, I was going to ask you about what kind of makes you anxious as a father right now, but this is such a hopeful conversation that I prefer to ask you, what are you most looking forward to now in your new role as grandfather and a father of married parents?
Well, the thing I'm really looking forward to most is that when I die one day, Terence, I can be assured that I've done my best in raising them up in a manner that's worthy as a father and a child, and that I've done my best for my grandchild or grandchildren, if there are any future ones, just to leave that legacy that I made a difference. I strive to make a difference as a father and as a grandfather in their lives, so that they could continue. Can I say the baton? To just try and emulate that parenting and that grandparenting skills that they saw in me.
So there you have it, five dads, all at different points in their fatherhood journey, but they are all full of hope and pride and joy and love. And I've got to say, chatting to these dads was incredibly encouraging for me. They are a real reminder of how important being a dad is, that if fathers are available and present and active in their children's lives, the results can be incredible. Thank you to Basil, Dylan, Coquetto, Doug, and Denzel for being willing to chat to me, and thank you for listening.